Hello everyone, welcome back to Talking in the Rain. I'm your host, Saida Unju, and today my guest is Candace Weber. Before we get into the interview, I wanted to let you know that the East Side Culture Crawl is happening. It starts today. It's going on until the 17th. You can go see studios, meet artists, and it's free to attend. So do a little studio crawl, and I hope you enjoy the interview.
Hello, I'm Candace. I'm a fiber artist. I'm working out of Vancouver's Chinatown. I work professionally as a compositor for animation, but over the years, I've developed a personal creative practice, which includes weaving, embroidery, beading. I also incorporate filmmaking into that, sculpture. It's a bit of mixed media. There's not much I don't do. I most recently started trying out mosaic a little bit and integrating. I also do rug making, so doing like rugs and mosaics together. So there's like nothing that I'm not interested in trying, I guess. Yeah, it's a little bit of everything.
That's so funny. I feel like with artists, like especially if it requires something to do like with your hands when you're creating with your hands, once you start, you kind of just want to like dive into every single thing that's out there. Yeah, I totally understand. So you just mentioned you started mosaics. And so I looked at your work and your beading, you like use so many different sizes and shapes of beads. Does your experience in like creating a harmony with those like different types of beads help when you're doing mosaics, like when you started, or do you think they're just like different?
Actually, I think that they are related because, okay, so I've been getting more interested in mosaic just because I've been seeing a lot more of it online and stuff, just with the way my algorithm has shifted. And I think with the beading, I use a lot of different sizes to like develop more like a texture and sort of a balance to it. The challenge with mosaic is because as of right now, I'm like very, very new to it. Like this is my first mosaic piece. So I'm using just like same size tiles. So I don't have the advantage of kind of getting the look of sort of like a relief and like depth like that. So you have to work a little bit more, I guess, graphically, which is also something you have to do or like to some degree with like rug making. At least in terms of the rug gun that I have. So it's like a tufting gun. And I don't have one of the, like the more nice expensive ones that you can do like many sizes and like depth. So you have to kind of hand cut if you want it to kind of have that size difference. So to kind of get around that, I've been playing around with beading and rug making, mosaic and rug making to like kind of have more like texture with it. Because I find I actually struggle quite a bit, even though I have a background in animation, working graphically when it comes to like this kind of stuff. Yeah, I have found challenging as I've been working on it because I think I do sometimes rely on having a lot of different materials to give it the impact. So it's just like using your brain in a different way. But I do think the beading is what made me interested in mosaic because I think the look of beading can like very much resemble the look of mosaic and stuff. And yeah, I've just been like very inspired by like looking at Middle Eastern art and stuff like that and like the beautiful mosaics in the region. So yeah, it's just been, I think like once I saw that, I just like it stuck in my brain and I was like, wow, that looks really cool. And I would really, and then my algorithm just switched to be like a lot of mosaics. So yeah.
Yeah, it's funny how like the algorithm, it just kind of figures you out and then
it knows.
Yeah, it knows. And then you get influenced so easily. I feel like I have on my Instagram feed so much stained glass. Like everyone's
Yeah.
I'm like, should I start making stained glass? Like
Honestly, I am considering that as well.
Oh
It's
my
like
God.
I can't, the thing is that I can't keep buying all these supplies. So I'm like trying to just use what I have before I can start like a new hobby. But yeah, stained glass is right up there with it. And I think for whatever reason, I think mosaic seemed a little bit more approachable. Because you don't have to break the mosaic the same way you have to break up the stained glass and kind of have more precision, I guess. But
Yeah, also stained glass, you need to like solder the edges and stuff like
yeah,
that. Like, yeah, it's a
I
lot of
did
work.
do,
That's,
yeah,
yeah.
I've done it like in, I think, in high school, I did some, like, I had a high school art class that we did some stained glass, but I remember it being a lot of work. So yeah, it's someday.
Someday we'll see. Maybe for next year's crawl, we'll see some stained glass
Yes.
from you.
For sure.
Yeah. I wanted to ask, because you mentioned you have background in animation, so you went to school for that. At one point, did you start getting interested in things like tufting and embroidering and beading? And were you interested in it while you were studying animation, or did it kind of happen afterwards? What was that timeline like?
Yeah, so I think, like, the truth is that I don't think I've ever had an interest that didn't, like, loop back around at some point. So basically, like, the story, I guess, to, like, kind of give some background on me is, like, I'm originally from Indiana, and I think when I was, like, really young, I was really interested in, like, more hands-on art, and I think I used to, when I was really young, I wanted to be, like, a fashion designer and that kind of thing. And then in high school, I discovered, I think, like, the movie Spirited Away really wanted me, like, made me want to get into animation, because I knew I wanted to do something in art. So I ended up going to grad school in San Francisco, and then moving here, like, a few years after that, to pursue, like, working in animation. So I've always had this love for animation, but at the same time, it's like a digital medium. And I think that if you are a kind of a hands-on person, that kind of becomes daunting after a while. So I think when I moved here, it was right around the time when I moved to Canada, that I think what the story I always tell is, I don't ex actually know how it snowballed, but I saw this artist who I believe her handle online is Ola Liman, and I'm forgetting which country she's from, but she's from, I think, South America. And she was doing these, like, really beautiful embroidered jackets. And so I saw that, and I think I had never really seen contemporary embroidery before, because, like, what I grew up with as embroidery was, like, look, little machine logos on people's shirts, because I'm from a small town in the Midwest. So I hadn't really ever, and I didn't have any, like, grandparents who were really crafty or anything like that. So that was, like, I was like, oh, that's really cool. I would love to get one of these jackets. But from what I could tell, she wasn't selling them. So I was like, okay, maybe I'll try to make one. And then I want to say within a year or two of that, a friend of mine reached out to me to share some studio space at Gore. So then it just became this thing where I was just getting more and more supplies. And I think during the pandemic, when I think, like, tufting went viral. So I was seeing a lot of it, and it just felt like a natural step, because I had gotten into the embroidery, and then I got a loom. And I had started doing a lot of weaving. And the loom, I actually had a loom as a kid, but because I was obsessed with ancient Greece, and I know, like, looms were a big thing for them, right? So I remember building a loom, and I also remember building, like, a lyre and different things that, I don't know, were, like, ancient Greek. I don't know. So I was always obsessed with those kind of things as a kid. And looking back at it, I think I always kind of had a natural tendency towards, like, fiber art, but I think I was just kind of interested in anything that kind of was related to that. So I did have, I think, like, when I bought the loom, I was like, oh, there was something in my childhood about it. But and so, yeah, and then I ended up getting the tufting gun, because that felt like a natural step, even though it was, like, a big investment of, like, money and time. But yeah, so I think once I had the studio space is really when I started to get more diverse in terms of, like, what I was doing. And now I'm doing more fashion pieces. So, like I said, I think I've never had an interest that ever goes away. It just loops back at some point. And I still have a lot of love for animation, but it is kind of a difficult industry to be in. And I think I've avoided burnout in the sense that a lot of my creative energy does not go into my job. Like, my technical skills, and, like, I can have, like, creative input into the job, but, like, I've been very careful about separating what my personal art is from my work. So, or, like, my paid labor. So yeah, I think it's just, like, I will never have an interest that ever goes away. I still love animation. I still try to make, like, one short film a year, but it's just kind of branched out, and, like, I have too many, like, projects in the back of my head that sometimes it takes a very long time to get. Like, I told my partner at some point, he's like, I love that you always have little projects going on. And I go, for every one project I show you, there's five more I haven't told you about yet. So
That's so funny, but I feel like it's like a universal experience for like crafters are like people who create things everywhere. It's
Yeah.
like, yeah, I finish one piece, but I also have like 10 other things that I haven't touched in like
Yeah.
months.
Yeah, I have a lot
Yeah.
of half-started things for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I was gonna say it feels like you have a good balance of like creativity and also doing what you studied and are still interested in, because like with animation it feels like, well, at least to me it seems like when you work for an animation company, you don't really get to put your creative input in that. You're just kind of, doing what they tell you to do. So with this, like with Loudly Insecure, you're able to express yourself creatively. And yeah, I feel like that's a good balance there. And it is incredible that you have been able to, I guess, avoid burnout with that.
Yeah, I think for the most part, I'm one of like the very few people I think that has had a more chill experience with it. But it is like even when it's a chill experience, it's still a very kind of up and down experience because, you know, it lacks, I think, stability. But I shouldn't have chosen something in the arts if I wanted stability, I guess. But yeah, I
You know
do.
what?
I do still love it, but yeah, I sometimes I'm like, oh, should I just have an office job?
See, the thing is with the way things are going right now with the economy, office jobs aren't stable anymore either. So
I know,
you can,
yeah.
you don't even need to think about that anymore.
That's true. Yeah,
Yeah.
I don't know what else I would do, honestly.
Yeah, it's difficult, right? You just kind of think about like go through all the jobs in your head, and you're like, they all sound kind of boring. And
Yeah.
why would I spend my time doing that when I could do this instead?
Yeah, at least
Yeah.
there's this sense of like you work on projects that like I don't know, a lot of the things I worked on are like kid shows, so it's nice that like I don't know, my nieces and nephews are watching those now, so that's always cool.
That's so cute. I love that so much. I want to go back to fashion design for a second.
Okay.
Yeah, you because you mentioned that like you were interested in that, and then kind of your interests changed over time, and now you went back to it, and you make wearable art now. And I also want to specifically talk about the mushroom suit
Oh, okay, cool.
because it's, to me, insane. I don't know how you did that. But first of all, can you describe what it is to the listeners? And then afterwards, I can ask you my questions.
Sure. So, it is a jacket. Imagine sort of a kind of like a blazer, like crop jacket and a maxi skirt that is covered in beaded embroidered mushrooms that are also a gradient of like the rainbow going down it. And yes, that was probably about 6-ish months of work, maybe a little longer than that. But yeah, a labor of love because I am a big mushroom person.
It's so cool, honestly, and also 6 months. I would have assumed it took longer, to be honest. There's so many because like it I'm assuming you did the beading for all of the little mushrooms on the suit, or did you work with other people?
No, that one was like completely made by me. It's also like the first jacket I've ever made, so it was so essentially what how I planned it out was I had this idea because so specifically these are turkey tail mushrooms, like inspired by turkey tail mushrooms. So those grow on the side of trees like jutting out. So I had this idea that they could be going down like the arms and stuff. And I did collaborate with a local drag artist to do like the photo shoot for at least one of the photo shoots. But otherwise, it was all me. But I would take felt, I would stitch two halves together, I would embroider kind of gills on the bottom and then bead on the top, and then kind of stuff them. And when the jacket was done, I would stitch each one on there. I felt like that was like the easiest way to kind of plan it out, because then I kind of had a little bit of flexibility in how I arranged the mushrooms. And yeah, it was a little bit of like figuring it out, because like I said, I'm not in a very advanced sewer. I think I can follow a pattern, and I think that one it was like a pattern that I altered a little bit to do like the cropped, and I removed the collar, so it kind of had a little bit more streamlined look, I guess, because the mushrooms, are going to be a little bit busier, right? So, yeah, it is like a trial and error thing, because looking back, I really like the pattern of the fabric I used, because I was trying to emulate like a tree. However, it was probably not the appropriate fabric to use for something like that, because it frayed like crazy. So yeah, it's like a lot of trial and error, but I am very proud of it, because it was, I mean, I don't, to be honest, and even the timeline, I can never really give a full timeline on anything, because I always am working in small pieces, and so it's very hard to track when or like how long something takes me. So when people see stuff like that, I think I had one lady 1 year at the crawl ask, like, oh, what, how much would you sell it for? And I was like, oh, I couldn't sell it, because I have no idea how much that would be. It would probably be thousands of dollars, right, if we're gonna take into account time. And she was like, well, then why did you do it? And I was like, girl, you're at an art show. Like, it's just to make art.
That's so funny. But yeah, it's li literally art. Hello.
Think
That's
people forget that, like, it's not a meant it's not capital it's not meant to be capitalism, right? It's meant to be art.
yeah. You made the mushrooms. Did you make all the mushrooms and then attach them to the clothes? Did you do both over time? What was that like?
I made the bulk of the mushrooms first, and then made the jacket. And then, as I was filling in the jacket, I would occasionally make, if I had a space that I didn't really have a mushroom that fit, I would make a new one, just to kind of, because I had for it's kind of a strange one, because I think I normally work very unplanned, but this one did actually have quite a bit more planning. But I kind of gave myself sort of the loose idea of how I wanted the colors to go down. So I would kind of make how many mushrooms I thought was going to work for that. But then that can be very different than when you're actually applying them and you see, okay, there's gaps here. But yeah, the bulk of them were done before the jacket was ever made. And I was just sort of playing it by ear. But I did have a strong concept of what I wanted it to look like in the end. So.
Do you find that when you work on a project, because you said that most of the times you kind of work unplanned, when you do plan out a project, does it go faster or more smoothly? Or because you're used to working unplanned, you're not used to it, and I don't know, I wonder what the difference is like for you, especially because I feel like you do work that takes a lot of time. Yeah, so you wouldn't necessarily, I don't think, be able to plan how much time it's gonna take to complete those works. But yeah.
Yeah, I think like everyone else, I very much overestimate how fast I can work. But yeah, I would say like for stuff like the fashion pieces, or like, 'cause the reason why I branched back into like doing kind of more like wearable art is because I became very interested in like kind of sculptural stuff and make embroidery more sculptural. And I think like the body is already, like, clothes are already sculptural in a sense, right? Because they're like three-dimensional. You have to think about it from all angles. But so I think with those, I do try to do more planning. But the honest truth is, like, this is all stuff that I'm just experimenting with, so I don't know how it's going to look in the end. So there is a certain element of having to be able to adjust as you go, because it's not maybe going to look how you were imagining it. And that has happened in basically every case. I recently made a dress that was all like deadstock lace, and then I embroidered and beaded on top. And that one has probably been the most struggle I've ever had with like a wearable one, because I d did and undid a bunch of things, because I just couldn't. I would just it was just not the way I was like imagining it. Like the original idea was not panning out, and I just got very frustrated with it, and I kept trying different things, and it took a very long time to like come to peace with that. But I would say, even when there is a plan, it's a loose structure that I'm like, if it needs to change, it can change. And I just like let that part part of it go. But yeah.
Do you ever just kind of quit a project because you're so frustrated you can't handle it anymore?
I actually am kind of a completionist, even though it'll give me massive anxiety to like not know what I'm going to do with something at some point. Most of the time I can finish stuff. I'm trying to think if there's ever been a case where it just really wasn't. I mean, I definitely have had stuff like that, but not major projects, not ones that I have thought about for a long time and committed a lot of time to. I think at that point I feel like no, you need to finish it, even if it's not, you know, because they take so long that sometimes by the time you finish a project, you're no longer the same artist that began it. So it's maybe not something you would have done, you know, again, but that's why I think there's a big variety in my work is I'll have an idea, I'll kind of do an experiment, try it out, and like I might like aspects of it, but maybe not enough to continue doing it, especially how time consuming it is. So yeah, I think I have abandoned things before, but it's few and far in between because I don't know, I'm a hyperactive focused person, so I do have the ability to finish it even if I am angry the whole time.
You're just like angrily punching
I
the needle in. Have
have
you ever tried felting?
tried felting. I was trying to figure out using scraps of yarn, like kind of like fraying them out and then felting with that as well. Like trying to I'm only trying to find ways to use scraps in different things. And so I have done a little bit of felting, and I do think like that is good for angry people to
Yeah,
get to
that
stab stuff.
it's exactly what I was thinking. You said, sometimes when you finish a project, you're no longer the artist who started it, which, wow, what a line, first of all. Also, do you have like projects that you no longer like or feel more negatively towards than others because maybe they're old and you would have done it so differently if you did it now? Or is it kind of like, it is still me who did it and it that project represents a time when that was my style and that's what I liked. So yeah, what are your feelings about that?
Yeah, I think that probably everyone has that to some degree. Especially like a lot of my early weaving work and stuff is yeah, sometimes I look at stuff and cringe a little bit as like, okay, I would do it so differently now. But also I want to say like there were a lot of people who really liked the early weaving stuff. So it's not to say that it was bad. It just is like I've kind of moved on. But yeah, for sure. Like, I mean, I was just recently home and like going through any art that I made in my early 20s is so cringy. And I was like, it's so, I see elements of where I am now. I think it's cool to see the progress. Like, that's why I think, like, I've had friends who are like, oh, I would burn all my old, like, my childhood art because I just want, you know, when I'm like, you know, to only save the stuff that I really liked. And I kind of like have a hard time doing that, even though some of it was like cringe and obviously, I don't know, I was in my early 20s in the early aughts. So, or in the mid 2000s. So a lot of it is cringe and like and problematic for sure. So it's like I have grown up and I think but I think like listen, we all make problematic stuff when we're young. If you're an artist and you've been making work for any length of time, a lot of your like deep statements are not that deep when you're that age. So, yeah.
I understand it. But I mean, it's great that you weren't discouraged, like throughout your, I guess, artistic journey. I want to talk a little bit about the culture crawl. This is not your first time participating in it, right?
No, I think this is
No.
maybe 6 years,
Oh, cool.
I
Yeah.
believe.
People can come into your studio, look at your art, talk to you. Are you going to be like, is your studio open all 3 days of the crawl? Are you going to be there during the
Yes.
whole crawl? Yeah.
Yes. I think it's from, is it Thursday to Sunday?
14th to 17th. So, yes, I think so.
Yeah, it starts tomorrow, right?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I think
Oh.
it's 4 days. But yeah, I'll be there the whole time. Because it's like
Cool.
2 evenings and then the weekend.
Okay. Yeah. What is one thing that you're really excited about the crawl and one thing that you're kind of dreading?
One thing that I'm really excited about is I've been playing around with tufting and like doing stuff on furniture. And also, okay, another thing, this is what I'm talking about. I have too many things. But I've also been playing around with paper clay, like it's like a paper mache type thing. So I've been doing more like furniture as well. So I have a couple of pieces that are like new pieces. And I'm gonna kind of arrange my studio in a little bit different of a way this year to kind of showcase those. But yeah, I am excited for that and kind of like it is fun to like set up the space and make it pretty and have a few new pieces to show like that. But the part I'm dreading is just the amount of cleaning I have to do because the crawl starts tomorrow and I am not ready. So yeah, it's just a busy time of year. It does make me sad to not be able to go look at other people's spaces anymore. That part I do really miss, but it's nice because our building is open format, so none of us have like a personal space that's blocked off. So we kind of get together as a group and clean up the space. And it is a really nice time of year because everybody is in at the same time. Everybody is working together. Everybody is like drinking and working together. So it's like a hangout slash clean and organize kind of deal. So that part of it is really nice. I always really look forward to that. And yeah, the culture crawl is always like very like refreshing and like affirming time because I don't think there's any other time that people get to that you get the feedback not only on your artwork but also on how you've arranged the space and kind of like your overall vibe because seeing the work in the context of the place it was made is a little bit different than just seeing it in a gallery or somewhere random. So yeah.
Yeah, that's so cool. And I guess even though you can't really go participate in the crawl anymore, you have your like studio mates, and you mentioned that like it's a open plan, so you get to see some
Yeah, and I will say a lot of people who come to visit us are really struck by the building itself because it is
Oh
like a
yeah.
very it is a very old building and it's a very cool interior. And it kind of looks hidden because from the outside I don't know that you would know it was studios. It was a former noodle restaurant, so we still have the sign outside and stuff. But it definitely doesn't look like it's still in operation. So I think people are like, "What is this?" until they come inside.
I feel like that's really perfect for like a bunch of artists to be occupying an old noodle house with the sign still out
Yeah,
there.
it's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I have a question. So do you have any work that you are selling? Because you mentioned like, for example, the mushroom suit, like can't really put a price on it. It's art, you know? But do you have anything that like people can take home with them?
Yeah, I make like a big effort to have a range of stuff that I make so that there's a more price points for people. So I make a lot of earrings that I design, and some of them are woven and embroidered, and some of them are just I do a lot of laser cutting as well. So like laser cut earrings, and like I make mini looms that people can make their own weaving and things like that. I have a lot of yeah different smaller things like that. I also sell the rugs I make. I'm also going to be launching a website soon to if and I'll be passing out stuff where if people are interested in workshops with me as like more like because a lot of I've gotten a lot of feedback that people are very interested in learning the process that I do. So I'm in the process right now of like developing those workshops and getting like a website up. So if people want to check those out, and I'm also working with Vancouver Tool Library, which is a very cool organization that you can rent tools from for very cheap. They do monthly workshops and things like that. So I'm planning a series of workshops with them currently for embroidery. And eventually maybe I also want to do like tufting and things like that. But yeah, in the process right now of seeing if I can do more sort of experience-based off like offer more experience-based things, because I think especially with things like tufting or embroidery, it's like very embroidery's got like a little bit lower of a financial burden to like enter, but I think sometimes it can be overwhelming to get started. So yeah, I would really enjoy, and I enjoy teaching, so yeah.
Nice. That sounds like it'll be a great time when you start doing it. And there's so many things that you can, have workshops of because you do so many things.
Yeah. I think I'm gonna start with a couple different things and then kind of branch out as I see what people are interested in doing. But yeah, I think like sometimes those are fun. Even like I've had people attend little workshops I've done with like through Create and like the Culture Crawl. That already do embroidery and do beading themselves, but are interested in like other people's process. So I think like, I don't know, I always think that's very cool because you do get to see how like other people are thinking. And I think I've taken like one like I think it was called couture embroidery class that I still use some of the techniques they taught in that class. So I think even if you have more experience, sometimes it's cool to see how maybe you haven't thought of something.
No, definitely. And also, stuff like embroidering or, beading, I guess you can learn from online. There are so many videos and sources, but learning from a person gives that insight that maybe the tutorials don't have because those are mostly technique based. So you can, yeah, that's very cool.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you about community, because whenever I interview actors or dancers, they always mention that, for example, specifically for theater, let's say, Vancouver's theater community is quite small, especially compared to other cities, that you either know other actors or you know someone who knows those actors. There's always, so what's the fiber art community like in Vancouver? And would you ever want to collaborate with some of those fiber artists, or are you more comfortable working alone?
Yeah, I would say it's pretty small community. I do know some of the local fiber artists, and there is another fiber artist in, or actually a couple of fiber artists in the same building as me. We have someone who does quilting, and we also have, I think she's not in the crawl this year, but we also have my studio mate Junko is she does table, like she does like she studied like table weaving, which is like a whole different, very intense process that like she fully went to school for. So it's very different from me. I guess the answer is I am open to collaboration. I will say, so my friend group is mostly animation people and illustration. So I have been like turning like illustrations my friends do into rugs. And I've talked to other people about doing a series where someone else designs, because as I've mentioned before, I sometimes struggle with the more graphic nature of the way that I'm making rugs right now. So, and you know, it's a process of like using the rug gun is definitely like got a learning curve, because it is kind of trickier to do fine detail and curves and stuff. So sometimes having someone else design like something that I have to translate into a rug is a good learning process for me, and then it's cool to see the person's art in rug form. So I think that has been the main way I've collaborated. And I've also had people kind of collaborate with me, like I mentioned, with like modeling the pieces I make or different things. I am open to collaborating with other fiber artists. I haven't had that opportunity as of yet. I think that I do enjoy being a part of the community, and I do enjoy like, 'cause there is like a community within my studio space itself, but we all do like such different things. And yeah, it would have to be like something that I was okay with like giving up some amount of control over. Because I think for the most part, it's been like stuff like, yeah, like translating the rugs or like having a conversation about how best to shoot and model stuff like that. But yeah, I guess the short answer is yes, I am open to collaboration. I do think community is super important, and I think it's only getting tougher and tougher to be a small artist and like a crafter in the city. And just like, yeah, even with things like Dresso is selling their building, and hopefully they're gonna, that really hit hard. And I think for a lot of other people, like they're a big part of the community. So I, as things get tougher and tougher, I think community is gonna be more and more important. So
Yeah, that's so true. I hope they open up somewhere else.
me
Oh my God.
too.
What
I'm
are we
really,
gonna
really
do
sad.
without
I
Dresso?
don't even know.
Genuinely.
I truly don't know what we'll do.
No, so sad. Well, lastly, I want to ask where people can find you and keep updated, like about your website or the workshops that you're planning on doing.
Yeah, right now I think the best place to keep up to date with my stuff is probably Instagram or TikTok. So I am Loudly Insecure on both Instagram and TikTok. I think it's loudly underscore insecure, and I'm pretty sure it's the same on both. So I will announce the website on there when it's ready to go, and I will like have more information about it at the crawl, but there's a lot of stuff still like not fully published yet, so
Sounds good. That's cool. Well, is there anything you want to mention or talk about before we go?
keep an eye out for workshops also at Vancouver Tool Library, basically. Yeah, they're a cool organization, and they do a lot of workshops, other even other than just mine. They do stuff like spoon carving and a lot of different things with different community centers around the city. So yeah, I would definitely check them out, because if you're interested in any kind of like making, they have like affordable workshops for that.
That's very cool. I didn't know about them. I'm gonna go check them out myself.
Yeah, they're at, I think, Commercial Drive area.
Okay. Easy to get to.
Yes.
Amazing. Sounds good. Well, thank you so much for joining me. This has
Thank
been
you.
lovely. Hopefully I'll get to come see you during the crawl. I actually, oh my God, I feel bad about this, but after interviewing your studio mate Violet last year, I was gonna go see her too. I still haven't. It's been like a full year. So maybe I can kill two birds one stone, you know?
Yeah, there's a, yeah, we have definitely come, if not to see me, there is like, I'm not sure exactly the number of everybody who's doing it this year, but we have a good, like, usually 10 to 15 people who are doing the crawl in that building. So come check it out. We have it all. We have people who do painting and different fiber arts. And I think even like we have in the past had like performance art in there as well, and collage. And Violet does, I describe her medium as baby head. So, and people who do like very cool drawing and stuff, and jewelry making. So if you're interested in an art, there's a good chance that there's someone in that building who's doing that art.
Yeah, that's so cool. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. I really appreciate it, Sarah.